Hello, Scott here, jumping in real quick to say thank you for listening, and also to let you know that we are starting crowdfunding for the remaining episodes of Season 3. More details to come after the credits, so stick around.
You are listening to a Gravestone Production Podcast.
Welcome to our solar system. The year is 2373 Standard Earth Time. Humanity has colonized the planets and brought with them the omnipresent artificial intelligence known as Kestrel. Today, we dive deeper into Kestrel's memory banks to explore the worlds through her ears. Let us continue our journey now.
This is Audio Log 7 of Operation Ghost Touch. Dr. Ryland here. Senate and I have made the journey to the edge of the cross section. It's about 40 miles north through the forest. Took about 4 hours to get here, and what we found is incredible. There has been intelligent life here. I don't know how, but the evidence is here. I mean, I'll take a picture of it for the reports, but I am standing in front of a carved obelisk of some sort of igneous formation. Senate says it looks to be basalt. It's been embedded in the dirt against the edge of the cross section. The cliff side appears to have been melted, like the stone melted and formed another type of rock. What was that? Senate says they recognize some of these symbols and some of the mystic texts in Mesikant. They don't know what they mean, but some of them bear some resemblance. It'll definitely be worth a trip to Mesikant when we get back to find out if there's any way to interpret these symbols. Neither Senate or I are the religious type, so that's about the best we'll be able to figure out of these. We also don't have any anthropology background on the team, but yeah, I'm going to be right back, though, because I want to figure out what these rocks are, and there's no need for you guys to listen to us as we take a sample. It'd be pretty boring. Okay, I took a sample of the stone, and the first thing I noticed is that it hummed a strange blue. Hummed blue? Glowed blue for a few brief seconds and hummed as I hit it. That's what I was trying to say. Turns out the readings it gave Senna is that the stone contains veins of boral in amongst the basalt. This is huge. It carries so many implications. First off, basalt is an igneous rock, which means it's formed from the very quick cooling lava, which means there is volcanic movements on this comet. The mountains here are volcanic. This is so much more than any old comet. Plus the fact that in our flyover, our scans revealed a strange metal shape surrounded by a concentration of obsidian, which is created from the flash freezing of lava, and is further surrounded by rocks, which along with volcanic activity, I think we're standing on half of a planet. Holy shit. This is the discovery of a millennia. This isn't just any old comet, this is a rogue planet. This is half of a dwarf planet that supports its own life, and somehow it's become shunted off course from a star, or... Oh my god. The melted part of the rock I mentioned earlier is another type of igneous rock called ignimbrite, which is a volcanic glass. Is this planet rogue as a result of its star exploding and taking half the planet with it? If so, the sheer heat death should have killed all of the living creatures on this rock. So, and if that's the case, then did all of this life generate after the disaster that broke this planet? Senate said it best there. We find any sort of small possible answer and it creates 1,000 more questions. We're gonna head back to the Trailblazer, but we have a suspicion that there's a road here, or what formerly was a road. We're gonna try and follow it tomorrow, but it looks like it heads off towards the mountains, which means there might be further evidence of what type of creatures built these obelisks, and maybe even why. It's an exciting day. This is a huge discovery.
Part two of the log. Senna and I return to the Trailblazer, and about half an hour or so,
Kennedy didn't make it. They had been relatively stable for the last few days, not getting any better, not getting any worse. And they passed away while Seth and I were out exploring. I guess they felt it coming. They had set up a chair in front of the ship and passed away watching the stars. The official passing of Kennedy, according to their suit readings, they passed away at 4:19 on Friday, the 11th of May, 2373, Standard Earth Time. Day 15 of the 30-day mission of Operation Ghost Touch. May their soul find peace in their journey ahead. Yeah, that's all I have for now. Audio log 8 of Operation Ghost Touch. We prepared Kennedy's body for a funeral today. We locked it inside an artificial storage container so that hopefully it doesn't decompose. Kennedy left us a note at some point asking their body to be left among the stars. We plan on honoring that. I have in my cabin their dog tags and a handwritten note that they left for their daughter. It's... Kennedy asked that one of us take care of Ariel when we get back. I hope you can hear me, Kennedy, but I'll do it. I don't have a family of my own, but I promise to take care of her upon my return. Okay. I gotta focus. Mission. Focus on the mission. Okay. Senate and I are headed to the mountains in an hour or so, so I'll do a part two of this if we find anything interesting.
This is Dr. Ryland here. We are on our expedition to the mountains and about 2.5 hours across the desert from where we landed the Trailblazer, and we found signs of intelligent life. Again, not intelligent life itself, but we found what looks like the remains of whoever left behind these obelisks. We are standing in front of a carved stone door into the mountains. It's been carved with rudimentary tools. It's kind of rough around the edges. But the frame of the door depicts some symbols of some sort. It seems to fashion a language. I've taken photos from when we return, and Senate is now bemoaning the fact that we don't have an anthropologist on this mission. But, we never foresaw this. What we thought to be a comet that may support life turns out to possibly be half a planet that split in half and went rogue. Why did it split in half? Hopefully the answers lie inside this mountain. There are no bodies here. The only conclusion I can come to is that whatever these creatures were like, they were relatively short. The tunnel ceilings are all roughly 5 feet tall. Both Senna and I have to crouch slightly, and it's kind of killing our backs, but there's more. The creatures appeared to be mammalian. We've found cribs, and there are clothes left behind. The clothes have two arms, two legs, and a tail hole. They have lots of stone tools and a variety of wooden ones as well. The wood also, strangely, is a carbon-based wood. It's not like the wood that is part of the trees currently on the asteroid, which supports the theory that this planet suffered a violent heat death and then used to sustain carbon-based life before that. But if that's the case, then why did the wood not burn when the rest of the planet seemingly did? I'm very confused by it, so expect future parts of this log. We've got a picture here that we found, or an artist's depiction at least, of what these people looked like. They did have two arms and two legs and a muscular tail. Their skin is a light gray, or was a light gray, and they had a pair of long, thin horns that sprout over monolid eyes and a long, thin features. What's that? Senate says they're very attractive people, according to the pictures. I'm taking several of these documents back with us. I'll also bring as many artifacts of this stuff as possible. Okay, the most interesting thing we have found is that these people apparently were a very religious community. We found no evidence of technology post maybe the Bronze Age. Again, not my field, but I know a few concepts. The reason we say deeply religious is the largest rooms we have found all seem to bear resemblance to cathedrals. There are benches, a forward pew, and there are stone murals all throughout here. A notable thing is the cathedral contains a star map, with different constellations mapped out. I took several pictures. If we assume it's accurate, we could potentially figure out its original position, like what star this planet originally orbited. We also found in the cathedral room, as we're calling it, several copies of the same scroll, and also we found a scroll that depicts the obelisks. They look to be diagrams and building constructions, and the page is filled with more of these symbols that Senate described as mystic adjacent. It could be they are mystic symbols in just a different dialect. Again, not my field, but the pictures depict rituals involving these obelisks, so they must be some point of worship. The only one that is most detailed and most interesting to us, at least, is it depicts several officials pointing at the stars while what look like the common folk worshipping at these pillars. It's a very elaborate ritual, but it seems to be oriented towards a very large star and a very small star. The scroll was open to this page too, so maybe it has some significance. I haven't been able to figure out what they worship, however, but Senda suggested it's something astrological in nature. We found another really cool room. These people had built a telescope. We found a stairway in a room behind the cathedral that wound up for several hours, and we found it leads to the top of the mountain. It's a little observatory. We pulled on these ropes hanging around the room and opened wooden panels that exposed the sky. It's amazing. We also found star charts, and the telescope is maybe a 4 or 5 time magnifier. It's not super powerful, but it's enough, I guess, you know? Kennedy knows, or knew, more about that than us, so. I think I'm going to end the log here before it gets too long. Senate and I have so many pictures of this place, and we'll put it all on the drives for home, as well as we'll bring as much stuff as we can back with us. This whole place is definitely worth a second trip or two. Dr. Ryland, out.
Audio log number 9, day 18 of Operation Ghost Touch. Senate and I are in the lab. We're working on analyzing how a set of flowers we found growing in the mountains reproduce, since we found no stamen or pistils in the flower. Right? A little weird. Turns out there's a group of zilodrakes that eats the stamen and the pistils out of the flower. Our only guess is that the stamen and the pistil must require the zilodrake's stomach fluid to bind and reproduce, and then get planted in the natural fertilizer of the zilodrake's excrement. Senate?
Yeah?
Where did the zilodrakes go?
They glowed and then buried themselves.
What do you mean they all suddenly glowed and then buried themselves? Oh. There's a storm warning. Storms must be rough if that's the response of the lizards. Damn. That wind is picking up quick. Oh shit. There it is on the horizon.
That's coming pretty fast.
Yeah, it is probably going to be on us in a few minutes, I would think.
Or seconds.
Wow. Senate, in your life did you think you were going to be seeing a nitrogen hail? It's crazy. Look at the size of it, too. A couple of those look to be about baseball-sized. I think the smallest I've seen there is maybe a golf ball.
Send it.
We lost Senate. A hailstone about the size of a football impaled their chest. They didn't survive to the end of the storm. I mean, it pierced the lab window. We were standing in the lab, watching the storm, and a shard of frozen just pierced their suit. Straight through their lungs, just clean through. They died in my arms on Sunday, the 13th of May, 2373, on the 17th day of our 30-day mission. They were one of my closest friends. Senate Dishinvaya called Torinthal of Clan Vesedenya, descendants of the Kalalua clan, was a proud Vanarok. They excelled in their field and served the Haravex University of Technomancy with honor and dedication. Senate was kind, caring, passionate. A person I am proud to call my best friend. They knew no fear, and they were always willing to lend an ear and a shoulder or four should it be needed. One of the few people I know who could successfully maintain a proper work-life balance. They'll be sorely missed. I have done my best to preserve their body for transport home. They should have a proper burial. I am not qualified as a mystic. I cannot bury them here. I pray I may get them home to Vanarok Refuge in time for the funeral rites to be completed properly. So, I'll be lifting off in the next few minutes and embarking upon my journey home. There is no need to stay on this rock any longer. Well, today has gone from awful to infinitely worse. I ended the last log saying I was headed home. I am not. I can no longer go home. I took off after finishing loading the lab and explorer buggy back into the ship, and when I went to take off, the Trailblazer notified me we have no more warp fuel in the drive. I did an exterior inspection. The storm not only took Sen's life and damaged the lab, but it left a hole in the warp drive's fuel tank, which has leaked all over the planet. I have no way to get home, for which I shall be alive. The universe has consigned me to die on this rock. One of the greatest scientific discoveries in the solar system. And I cannot share it with the soul.
If you are hearing this segment, that means we are still in the process of crowdfunding for Season 3 of The Kestrel Files. The show has been long in the works and has had a few setbacks along the way due to major life changes on my end mostly, and we are seeking a small morsel of money to help ease the burden of producing Season 3 and, most importantly, speed up the production time. Succeeding at this means I don't have to pull out of pocket to pay our awesome actors, and that means we can produce episodes in one fell swoop rather than the speed in which I can save money for this. The good news is that this is doable if only 135 awesome people like yourself can spare $25 to become a part of the Kestrel Files and bring this story to life, which is only a small fraction of our listening audience. Supporting means getting a bunch of access to behind-the-scenes content, bloopers, etc., and all of the crowdfunding details can be found at seedandspark.com/fund/The Kestrel Files Season 3, or just click the link in the description as well. Part of this campaign also includes re-releasing Season 1 and 2 of The Kestrel Files as longer episodes, condensing each season into about 4 episodes each, so it'll be easy to re-listen and binge the show. I greatly appreciate you for listening and will greatly, greatly appreciate you for helping keep this show going. Once again, thank you for listening.